Welcome back, everybody, to The Connection. It's a podcast here of Government Market News. And if you haven't visited us, go to govmarketnews.com. I'm Marshall McCumber here, your co-host here of The Connection. And is joining me, as always, is Mary Scott Neighbors, my colleague in Austin with SPI. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Marshall. And we have something so important today that we're not even going to let a guest join us. We're just going to do the talking because this is a message we need to get out.
It's grant funding. And Mary and I were talking earlier in the week, and we just thought people have got to know. And for folks who haven't seen it, we're going to talk about it here right now. There was an article that came out just a couple of days ago in Politico. I'm in D.C. Mary's in Austin, but it came out and it's really making waves. And here, I want to give you the top line. And Mary, I want to get your feedback when I say these numbers. $1.6 trillion. That's with a T. $1.6 trillion is the amount of money passed by Congress over the past couple of years. Of that, about a third of it is tax breaks and two-thirds is funding. And of that $1.6 trillion, only about $125 billion has been spent, and only about another $90 billion or so has been what's called obligated, which means almost, Mary, almost $1.4 trillion has not gone out the door. Mary, how do you get your head around that?
Yeah, it is just sitting there. And I think the first thing we need to say to this audience is, oh my goodness, we may never have another funding abundance like this anytime in the next two decades. Maybe never in our lifetime, but it is sitting there, and cities and counties and school districts and universities need this funding, and the competition has not been that great. And there's a whole lot of reasons for that. Some of these communities that have the greatest needs don't have the resources, and they don't understand the grant process, and they're not asking enough questions. So, Marshall, I know you had a really interesting experience just picking up the phone and calling to ask about a grant. Why don't you tell about that program and what you found out?
You know, you're talking about the one where it was on the Hill with the fire grant and so forth. You know, I used to be a chief of staff to a member of Congress here in D.C. And, you know, so many of the we had a smaller kind of rural district, and so many of the volunteer fire departments needed new fire trucks. They needed firefighting equipment. A lot of these are volunteers in a particular community out there to serve those communities. And we would call often the volunteer fire departments, or they would call the congressmen and say, you know, can you help us apply for these grants? Can you write a letter of support? And my goodness, we were thrilled to be able to provide that support. And it is amazing when you see that beautiful new red fire truck roll up in a community, and to think that all the local officials there, the city, the county, the firefighters are all there, the member of Congress. That's the type of kind of talking, communication that's oftentimes necessary to get those grants. And too often, communities simply don't think to apply because they don't know where to start, right, Mary, oftentimes.
And I want to say the place to start is simply call the program where the money is. And there's right now, there's almost money for everything. But simply call. You are a taxpayer. Your tax money funds the salaries of the people in Washington. It also, however, just like you said, it funds the salaries of the elected officials locally. And every member of Congress has a local office. And so those two phone calls need to go out immediately. We need help. How can you help us? How can you support us to get this grant funding into our community? And then if they don't have the resources to write the grant, or they don't have the expertise to write the grant, call the program. Because so many of them, Marshall, as you know, they have people there who will almost tell you exactly how to write the grant. But I wanted to, and you know, we pointed out some great statistics, over $1 trillion left, and we're running out of time. This only goes through 2026. So I would love for us to talk about some best practices other than we've now told everybody how to get started. But let's talk about the applications that have been approved for funding that we've seen, they all have some commonalities. And so those
That's
would
right.
be best practices. And I'll throw out the first one. You need to have locally some partnerships, maybe a partnership with a school district or a community college or a university. And you need to have some support there from community leaders, maybe a mayor, maybe whoever is going to have some influence. And those partnerships make all the difference in the world, because they like to give a grant to a community where a number of groups are going to absolutely profit by that. So do you want to throw out some more advice, Tim, or you want me to go on?
No, I think that's exactly right. Let's say you're a city manager, mm-hmm. right? And somebody comes up with an idea, well, we need money for our wastewater treatment plant, or we're trying to build a new facility here locally, or we're trying to fix a road or a mm-hmm. bridge in our community. You think, well, where do I start? You know, I often hear, well, we have a grant writer, and that's great. That's excellent, because you're going to need a grant writer. But I want to go back to what Mary said. This is about communication, right? It's about communication, and you have to understand a particular grant program. So if you're doing a transportation project, you're going to talk to, for example, your state highway department. You're also going to talk to the federal Department of Transportation, for example. And you got to get those lines of communication open to make sure your project is eligible. And to go to the next step, to make sure, you, in this case, your city or your county is eligible, because not all grants are eligible for the same entity. Sometimes they go to private entities. Sometimes they only go to the state. Sometimes to a university. That's the type of research you've got to do before you get your grant writer going and before you get those partnerships going. Right, Mary? Got to do your
absolutely
research.
Absolutely right. And what you want to put in those grants is something like, here's all of the benefits it will deliver. For instance, right now there's all kinds of economic development grants. And whatever you want to do to boost the economy, to create some more jobs, or to attract tourism, or just to upgrade the lifestyle for your citizens, there's money for it. But you need to say, here's what we will do with this funding. Here's all of the people it will benefit. We need more jobs. We need an economic stimulus. Those things have to go into a grant proposal. And then if you can get community leaders involved, maybe it's the Chamber of Commerce, maybe it's an economic development group outside of the city, or maybe you partner with the county, because we've seen when cities and counties go together and maybe loop in a, let's say, a community college, those applications are getting approved for whatever the objective of the project is. So that's really, really important. And you're saying do your research is really, really important too.
One thing I want to add in here, people often say, well, it's free money, right? Mm-hmm. We're just going to get some money from the federal government. It's free. Put yourself in the position of the folks running at these big agencies. And you got to think about some of the things that they want to do as well. I think what Mary said, absolutely, you need to show all the benefits, the people, the community, the types of things that are going to affect in your community. The federal government in particular is also, and this holds true for any grant, or anybody who awards a grant, they want to know what other resources you can draw in alongside your grant. You know, oftentimes these grants, not only there's a requirement of a match, sometimes 10, sometimes 20% local match. But oftentimes what they really want to see is what sort of private funding or local city funding or maybe a foundation or the state, some other entity. They're trying to leverage and pull forward other sources of funds to do something bigger. Yes. So whereas if we had a dollar of federal investment, the federal government can say we funded them a dollar, but our return to the federal taxpayer was $3, mm-hmm. Mary, in economic growth or other incentives or other funding that we, the federal government, help bring to the table.
And you know, I would say, let's talk about a rural community that might not have the ability to go out and put that kind of an ROI element together for that project. You know, if you go to the media or local newspaper or the local chamber of commerce or the local Lions Club or Rotary Club, they will find you a volunteer to help with that. And those service clubs, especially, you know, Rotary and Lions and all of those are wonderful supporters, endorsers. And, you know, going right back again, don't be shy when you call a federal agency, because there is someone there whose main job is to help you understand how this program works. And it's the shy people who get blown aside. It's the ones who say, no, 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 don't get off the phone. This is what I need. This is why I need it. And you will get the help.
You know, and these days, to build on that, if you think about a process, you have an idea, you try to build some political support for that idea. Yeah. And then you've got, okay, maybe we've got someone to help us identify what grants we could be going for, and we know our city or county is eligible for the grant. Well, before you start writing the grant, there are other programs available. So then you call the agency who awards mm-hmm. the grants, but then sometimes there's programs in there to help you with technical assistance.
Yeah.
To even write the grant itself.
Yes, that's true. And, you know,
along the way.
And, you know, Marshall, right along those lines, let's talk just for a second about artificial intelligence. And we've started using it a lot just to answer real quick questions. And so you could simply go to, let's say, ChatGPT and put in, I'm looking for federal funding for a courthouse project. What agency do I call? You'll get the answer. I just don't want us to lose $1 trillion, because this money will get pulled back. And right now there's so many needs. And that reminds me of one more thing we need to tell everybody. There's so much rural money still sitting there, unused, untouched, unrequested, if that's a word. And it's because lots of rural cities and counties don't have the resources. But every state, Marshall, has a rural, they go by different names, but it's an organization to help rural entities get federal assistance. So you can Google, what in my state, what federal organization is locally to help me? And you should get that. Every state's got it. And
like rural development.
Rural development, that's really what it is.
Right.
It's there's rural broadband, there's rural water assistance programs, there's everything.
But these agencies, I hear it over and over and over. They want new applicants.
They do.
It's easier to work with people they've worked with in the past, because they know they're going to do well, be good stewards of that federal tax dollar, as all of us want. But they want new applicants, and there are resources available.
And I want to touch on one more point before we leave this, and that is earmarks. And recently I've been writing a lot of articles about earmarks. For a long time, they had done away, Congress had done away with earmarks. Now they've opened it back up. And so senators and representatives in Congress apply for funding for projects in the districts that they represent, and most of that gets funded. And so if a community needs something, really wants something, there's funding available. And it might not be 100%, but it'll be 50 or 60%. And I just feel like so many cities and counties and even school districts and universities, they don't apply for everything that's available.
It's almost like that's the biggest thing that people don't
yes,
do.
They
it is. Simply don't
and
apply.
And it's because nobody asks enough questions. The last thing that really troubles me is this. Recently, I went online, and we do all of this research. We've tracked all of that $1.7 trillion down to every state, then down to every jurisdiction. So we know where it's gone to this point. We also know how much is left in each one of those programs. But Marshall, if you look and you ask, what states have taken the most of this federal funding from the congressional, the last three bills? I mean, it's just sort of sad because it's there's probably 10 states where it's all going, and it's not going anywhere else. And you go and you can ask how many applications came from these other states. None. It's not that they're favoring those states. It's just that those states are giving support to cities and counties and colleges, and we should be doing that in every state.
100%. And I part of my mission in life is just to get the word out.
Yeah.
And that's what I think Mary and I are trying to do here. People have to apply, and the opportunity really is there. Look, it's not free. It's not always easy. The applications can be long, but there are people who can help. And this, I would just have to underline that number we heard about earlier, $1.6 trillion, almost $1.4 has not yet been
spent.
And this is an opportunity that we may not see again in our lifetime.
Yeah, and Marshall, we probably ought to explain to people that, I mean, you and I sort of grew up with one foot at least in the public sector. My dad was a mayor off and on for about 20 years. My late husband was in the legislature for 14 years. And I was a statewide office holder for 10 years. So I do understand government. And I can tell you that if we are not using our elected officials, if we're not asking for something in this time when so many of us are disgusted with government, it's our own fault if we're not getting it. If they are not hearing from us, they can't possibly provide what we need. So we're going to be doing a lot of conversations like this over the next year. And if you're not getting our newsletters to let you know what's coming next, then you need to send us a note. It's real easy to find us. You can go online, Google my name or Marshall's name, and it'll put you right in touch with us.
Call us, ask for help. We're going to keep talking about grants because this is many years, but it's not forever. So great conversation, Mary. Anything else for us to add today before we close?
That's probably all we need to put out there for one day.
Thanks for joining, everybody. We'll look forward to talking with you soon on our next podcast.